You will find the text for this morning's message in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As you know, this week will be Thanksgiving Day. So I thought it appropriate to bring a message this morning on Thanksgiving as a mark of true spirituality. When those 130 some odd pilgrim fathers came over on the Mayflower, after they had been through storms and lost some of their fellow travelers, the first thing they did when they got off the Mayflower was kneel down beside Plymouth Rock and thank God. And then they faced a very severe winter. They lost even more of their people. And then the next year, around November, they were again thankful because God had blessed their efforts, given them good crops. So they had a banquet. And they even invited some of the neighboring Indians over, and they had turkey and they had various food to eat, and they thanked God. That was the first Thanksgiving holiday in our country. By the way, I say they thank God. Did you know that there is actually a textbook in public schools that say the first Thanksgiving is when the pilgrims thank the Indians? No mention of thanking God. I wonder how many Americans will actually thank God this Thursday. I hope you do. It's Thanksgiving. The first official Thanksgiving was not proclaimed until November 26, 1789. Although it had been a custom, the first president, George Washington, made an official pronouncement that the nation should honor God with a holiday of Thanksgiving every November. But then for the next 80 years or so, they were still indecision when. It went back and forth. Abraham Lincoln proclaimed it as the last Thursday in November. And then Franklin Roosevelt moved it back to the third Thursday. Some say he moved it back so there would be one extra week of Christmas shopping. Maybe not. Maybe so. But then Congress settled the whole issue in 1941 and officially proclaimed, henceforth, the fourth Thursday of November will be the national holiday, Thanksgiving. And so it is to this day. Excuse me. I was once asked, is this based in the Bible? Well, yes and no. As we have just sung, there is a harvest festival that God ordained in the Bible. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles, and that would be in autumn, just like most nations. But not even Christian will have a harvest festival thanking their God or gods for the crops. However, God ordained that as a Feast of Tabernacles to coincide with the harvest crops. But those Old Testament feasts and festivals are no longer mandatory. However, it is still a good idea for a nation to officially recognize God has given us health, peace, safety, and crops. So I, for one, rejoice in Thanksgiving Day. And I do not like to call it Turkey Day. I know people smile and call it Turkey Day, but Thanksgiving is more than turkey and certainly more than football. It's a day that we should thank God. And it's the same thing with individuals. We should thank God every day, not just the fourth Thursday in November. Giving thanks is an important part of the Christian life. Let's define it. To give thanks is to express gratitude and appreciation to someone for doing something for or giving something to you. Years ago, there was a deaf and mute little boy in France. And in class, the teacher asked him, Pierre, how would you define gratitude? He picked up a pen and wrote his answer. Gratitude is the memory of the heart. Think about it. That's a good definition. Now, it's good manners to say thank you to someone that has done you a favor. You might send a thank you card, an email, a text. And we should thank people for small favors as well as large. And sometimes we thank someone like a waitress by leaving a tip and maybe a little extra tip. This last week, I smiled when I heard a television writer speak of someone, and he said, that man was as cordial as a well-tipped waiter. And I said, yeah, that's the way we should be, cordial and also grateful to others. When I was a boy, my parents taught me very well those golden words, please, thank you, and even you're welcome. Now, you parents need to teach your children that. By example, as well as instruction. By the way, the same thing goes for grandparents. Tell those children, always say please, and then when someone gives you something or does a favor for you, always say thank you. You know, I can still remember my mother standing beside me. If someone gave me something or did something, she said, now, Kurt, what do you say? And I'd say, oh, well, I really like it. No, what do you say? Thank you. And we need to be like that. Teach them. Show them. Now, there are many ways that we can say it. In English, we say thank you. Or you can shorten it to simply thanks. Over in England, they shorten it even further. You ever heard an Englishman say ta? That's a very short way of saying thank you. Ta. In German, danke or danke schön, which means many thanks or much thanks. In Spanish, gracias or muchas gracias, many thanks. In Spanish, that's interesting. Gracia comes from the Latin word gratia, which is a transliteration of the Greek word charis, which means grace. And that's where we get the word gratitude. It's a grace gift, and we are grateful. Something similar is in French. When you receive a mercy from someone, you say, merci. Mercy. Thank you. Well, there are many ways of saying it around the world, and almost every language on earth has some way or many ways of saying thank you. Linguists have found a few that don't have a word for thank you, and that tells you there are no Christians in that society, because Christians are very thankful, and if they don't have a word, they'll make up a word for thank you. We want to express our thanks to God. Now, down south, some of us used to say, well, thank you kindly. Or appreciate it. Not I appreciate it. You just simply appreciate it. Or in the Old West, much obliged. So if it's good manners to express gratitude to other people, brethren, how much more is it good spirituality to express our gratitude to God? He has not just given us a small favor. He has given us everything. Bible says that every good gift comes down from the Father above. And so it's our duty. It's a command. Look at our verse for today. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. Now that's the command. And we find an example of that in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is always a good, perfect example in everything holy. We find, for example, him saying in Matthew 11:25, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now, you could say, well, he's God in the flesh. He doesn't have to thank God, but he did. First, because he was grateful. Secondly, to give us the example, and we should follow his example. One of the ways that he said thank you frequently in the Gospels is for the food that was provided for him. For example, in Matthew 15:36, it says that he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and even before he broke them and multiplied them, it says he gave thanks. And that was not only just a Jewish custom, but that was a good and godly thing. Perhaps you've heard our Jewish friends pray a very Jewish traditional prayer at a mealtime. They say, we thank you, O Lord, Master of the universe, who has given us bread from the earth to meet our needs. We should pray before we eat our meals. Every meal, just take a moment, maybe bow your head or say it silently. Thank you for the food. The traditional Episcopalian prayer is, for what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. 1 Timothy 4:3 says, foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. by those who believe and know the truth. So we should thank God for our Thanksgiving turkey and dressing and all the fixings. But we should thank God for every meal. In fact, it's even a good idea to get a jump on that. Thank God when you go to the grocery store, even before you cook and eat the meal. Thank God that you have food. You see, God provides it. He provides it to the farmers and then to the food suppliers, or Archer Daniel Midlands and others, to the grocery store, right there to your very table. It all comes from God. Let's thank Him for our food. Now, look again back at the verse here. Look at the previous verse. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. In other words, thanksgiving is an important part of prayer. Brethren, try to include a note of thanks in every prayer you utter, whether it's asking for something, praying for somebody else. Always bring in some note of thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray in advance for things that you need this next week, next year. Start praying in advance. And I learned a lesson from a friend of mine that came to our church back in Texas. He would often pray, Lord, we ask for this, we ask for this, and we thank you in advance lest we forget to show our gratitude later. I'll never forget that. Try doing that. When you ask for something, say, Lord, I'm going to thank you now. I might forget later, but let's not forget later. And when we remember, let us thank God. And then thank God for things that He gave you you didn't pray for. You see, God gives us many things we never even took time to ask for. There was an old saying that was, it sounds nice, but it was wrong. It says, God does nothing except an answer to prayer. I beg your pardon. Most of what God does is not an answer to prayer. Did you pray for every raindrop that came down this last week, or every snowflake, or every little blessing He has given to you? Most of what God gives us is not an answer to prayer, so we should thank God for things He gave us that we didn't even ask for. That tells us how good God is, and He is abundant and generous to us. So thank God when you pray. Someone once said, prayer without thanks is like a bird without wings. That also is a good saying. Now, before you ask for God for things in the future, why not thank Him first for things in the past? Let's get the chronology right. Let's say, Lord, before I ask you for things that I need today and in the future, I want to thank you for things you've already given me. You see, that's kind of like tuning a piano. It puts you in the right mood. And then later, don't forget to thank God. Always remember Him. Why not thank God? Here's a challenge, brethren. Why not thank God for things He gave you many, many years ago? Maybe you forgot to thank Him. Or maybe you did thank Him. Why should we be limited to thanking Him only once? Why not thank Him again and again and again and again? Husbands, thank God for your wives. Wives, for your husbands, for your children. Thank God for things many years ago that you've already thanked Him for. Thank Him again. That pleases God. You don't have to say thank you only once. But what if you forgot to? Ask God to bring to your memory things that maybe that you labored in prayer for and God gave it to you. Ask God to touch your conscience. Did you remember to say thank you? Here's another exercise. Get out a big piece of paper, maybe a whole tablet, and try writing out a list of things to thank God for. I challenge you to do that when you're feeling discouraged. Thankfulness is a good cure for discouragement. So get out a few pieces of paper and a pencil, or do it on your computer and say, okay, what do I thank God for? And then go down that list. Parents, that is a good assignment for you to give to your children. Are you parents listening to that? Go home this afternoon and say, children or grandchildren, I want you to get out a piece of paper and list 10 things that you are thankful to God for. And then maybe next week, another 10 and another 10. See how many that they can write down. Now, I did this about 10 years ago in this church, and I prepared a handout called 100 Reasons to Thank God. I don't know how many of you have read it. It is still in those shelves out in the lobby. 100 reasons. And of course, it could go on and on. Let me just give you a few of them off of the list that sometimes we don't often think of as opportunities to thank God. Thank God for happy memories. Thank God for personal belongings that mean a lot to you that don't mean anything to anybody else. Maybe something your late parent left you. Thank God for modern medicine, hospitals, doctors, dentists, drugstores. Thank God for charities. You know, charities do a whole lot of good for us. American Cancer Society, the Lung Association, right down the list. Thank God for them. Thank God for good books and the eyes to read them with. Thank God for modern technology. Thank God for pets. Music. Color. What if everything was just black and white or dingy brown? God has put color into his universe. Thank God for clean water, clean air. Thank God for missionaries. Thank God for freedom. Thank God for the Bible in our very own language. Boy, if you've ever had to try to learn Greek and Hebrew at seminary, you thank God that you got it in English. It's not always English. What if you had to learn it in Hebrew and Greek? Thank God for Bible translators and publishers. Dear brethren, if you are a Christian, thank God for the very first person that told you about Jesus Christ. Maybe it was your mother. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher or a next door neighbor. Thank God for the person that prayed for your salvation when you were still drowning in sins. Thank God that he prayed for you. Thank God for the angels that God sends to protect you. Thank God for the wonderful privilege of prayer. You know, think about that. What if God said, you know, once every 5 years, I'm going to let you ask for one thing. Better make it a good one. No, no, no. God says, come anytime and pray about anything. Thank God for the privilege of prayer. Thank God for a clean conscience. Thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ, Bible-believing churches, godly theologians. Here's one. Thank God that you are not in hell at this very moment where you deserve to be. Now, that's something even unbelievers can thank God for. We deserve to be in hell suffering years ago. It's the mercy of God that you are not there at this very minute. In fact, you ever heard the old saying? Anything short of hell is a mercy. Thank God for that. Thank God for the key to heaven, the Holy Spirit, and the best of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. He tops the list. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The greatest gift of all deserves the greatest thanks. And Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thinking of Jesus. He said, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Inexpressible means it's beyond words. How could we ever thank God enough? How could we choose enough words? We'd say, thank you. Thanks. Ta. Dankeschön. Gracias. Give me more words, the tongues of angels, to say thank you for Jesus. We thank God for his birth, his virgin birth, his spotless pure life, his words, his miracles, his death, his resurrection. And if you are an unbeliever, you can thank God by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has offered the Lord Jesus Christ to you as the best gift you could ever receive. And you should receive it and say thank you by believing in him. We thank God for Jesus. But did you know the Bible also says we thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Just as thanksgiving is a part of prayer and we pray in Jesus' name, we should say with Paul in Romans 1:18, I thank God through Jesus Christ. All the gifts of God come through Jesus. All of our thanksgiving should return to God through Jesus. And then we thank God for being God exactly as he is. Have you ever thought about that? Heard about a little girl that was praying and said, well, Lord, we thank you for this and that, and we need this and that. But, Lord, thank you for being God, because if you weren't God, we sure would be in one big mess. Children have a way of putting things. What if God was not loving? What if God was absolutely just but not loving? He would be cruel. What if God was not perfectly wise? Thank God that he is exactly what he says he is. Thank the Lord that he is God and the devil is not. Ooh, What a nightmare universe this would be if Satan was God. And thank God for all of his gifts. Jacob in the Old Testament says, I am not deserving of the least of your mercies. Thank God for all of his gifts, none of which we deserve. We never earn anything from God. Therefore, if God doesn't give it to us, we can't complain. When God gives us things, we should not complain, but be grateful. For they're all free gifts. Four times in Psalm 107 are these exact words. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That was like the recurring chorus in Psalm 107. And there's another phrase. I counted up at least 10 places in the Psalms where it says this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. For his mercy endures forever. I'm going to go look that up in my French Bible. I wonder if it's merci le Dieu, for his mercy endures forever. It does, brethren. Thank God for mercies, small mercies, big mercies. Here's something I said at the conference on the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thanked God for giving you the Holy Spirit? The two greatest gifts God has given us are His Son and His Spirit. We should thank God for both of them. He has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said it is the gift. Not earned, not bought. It is given. And with the Spirit, He gives us all these other things. Remember that quote I gave you from Jonathan Edwards? He said, all of God's gifts in our experience are simply expressions of the Holy Spirit Himself. Joy, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace. All these things are simply emblems of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for giving us His Spirit to dwell in us forever. Thank God for all the many aspects of salvation. Get out your pencil and list some of those. Fellow Calvinists, have you thanked God that He elected you and chose you? Whether you were a supralapsarian or infralapsarian, have you thanked God for electing you? He didn't have to. You know, He did pass over some and choose others. If you are a believer, you are in those that have been chosen. That should make us all humbly grateful to God. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that began the process of salvation in our experience with conviction of sin. Oh, it was rough at the time. And we never forget that. But just like we thank God for chastening us as His children, and that's painful, but it's for our good. Thank God that He loved you enough to break your heart and to make you feel guilty for your sins and to cry out for forgiveness. Oh, it was rough. The Bible says it's like the birth pangs that will produce a baby. Thank God for conviction of sin. Thank God for the new birth. Thank God for the gifts of faith and repentance. Those were gifts. Thank God, here's another one that we often overlook. The wonderful gift of adoption. Theologians say that that is actually a greater gift than justification. Justification cleanses us of all of our sins and puts the righteousness of Christ to our account. Makes us holy. Adoption goes a step further and puts us in the very family of God. Have you ever thanked God that He adopted you? Thank God for justification. Thank God for the forgiveness of every single sin you have ever committed or ever will commit. Now, if you want to put down a list, try listing all your sins. Even the New York City telephone book is not large enough to list all of your sins. And God simply stamps them, paid in full, all forgiven, a free gift. We need to thank God for forgiveness. Now, those are some of the things that we should thank God for. Now, let's mention when and how we should thank God. Well, Thanksgiving Day. But we should thank God every day for every day. I like to hear how people begin their prayers. And I notice a lot of people often will pray, Lord, we thank you for this day. If I'm not mistaken, I heard a prayer like that in Sunday school this morning. We thank you for this day. This last week, preparing this message, I read someone talking about Thanksgiving and he alluded to that and said, well, we should thank God for the day. We should thank God for this day because every day is a gift. And that's why we call it the present. And I smiled when I read that. That was a tongue-in-cheek way of saying, yes, it is a present every day. Daniel 6:10, we're told that Daniel prayed and gave thanks to the Lord three times a day, quote, as was his custom. Three times a day, young godly Daniel thanked God. Now, we know he prayed. He opened his window and prayed toward Israel. But he also thanked God every day. I wonder if we imitate his custom. Psalm 119:62, David said, at midnight I will arise to give thanks to you. Now, there's a good example. And my mind goes back to my late godly mother. There were times that she'd say, Kurt, I couldn't sleep well last night. And I said, well, Mama, what did you do? She said, well, if I can't sleep, God's waking me up so I can pray and to give him thanks for something. Now, there's a good example. If you can't sleep, or maybe the neighborhood dog barks and wakes you up, or a car backfires, you know, some kid with a hot rod that's painted to look like an Air Force tiger, you know, and you hear that and it wakes you up, maybe God wants you to give thanks and to pray for something. Why not give thanks at midnight or at midday, like David? Well, here's another example. 1 Chronicles 23:30, the Levites that were not the priests at that time were told to stand the temple every morning. And it says, in the morning, to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. So just picture the temple with the temple singers and the priests going in and all the people bringing in their offerings. And you'd see these Levites standing in the same place, praying, thanking God in the morning and in the evening. Now, there's an example for us. Charles Spurgeon wrote a book of daily devotions called Morning and Evening. We should thank God in the morning, maybe even before you crawl out of bed, and in the evening, before you close your eyes for the very last time, say thank you. That's a good example for us. When's another time that we should thank God? Well, we should thank God every day, but I think especially on the Lord's Day when we gather for worship. There should be a note of thanksgiving whenever we come together. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, of course, God is everywhere, but what David is alluding to in some of the manuscripts the rabbis wrote, a psalm of thanksgiving, what he's saying is when you enter into the gates of his manifested presence, when he is among you on the Lord's Day, come in with thanksgiving. Now, what else in the morning service? Well, at communion. That's one reason we do it every week. That's the way they did it in the New Testament. A lady asked me this last week. How often did you do communion in your church? I say, every week. Why? And I said, because that's how they did it in Bible days. Look it up in the book of Acts and Corinthians. And so we have communion, and one thing we should do at communion is thank the Lord. Have you ever noticed when you visit other churches, some churches will actually call communion the Eucharist. Do you know what that word means? It's the English equivalent of the Greek word Eucharisteo. It's the Greek word thank you. So when we come to commune with God and to remember what he's given, we are thanking him for the gift of the Lord Jesus. And that follows Christ's own example when he ordained the first Lord's Supper. We're told in Luke 22. He took the cup and gave thanks, and he took bread and gave thanks. And in a little while, we will also eat and drink and remember the Lord Jesus. Let's remember to give thanks for the greatest gift of all. And then we're told back here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again, in everything give thanks. So everyone at all times for everything should give thanks to God. In other words, in all circumstances. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks for all things. Now, sometimes it's easy. Just like it's easy for a child to say thank you when the parents give them maybe a birthday present. Sometimes it's not so easy. It's hard to spot some of those presents that God has given us in the hard times. But yet we're told to thank God even in the rough times, when you're in the hospital, when you're unemployed, when you're going through a really tough circumstance. We find an example of this. In Acts 27:35, which we looked at just a few Sunday nights ago, There was Paul and a couple of other Christians on a ship. They had gone through several storms. They're now about to be shipwrecked. They had gone 14 days with little or no food. And the Roman soldiers wanted to kill them so that they wouldn't escape. That's a pretty bad situation, pretty dire straits. And yet we're told in that verse, Paul led others in prayer. Quote, he took bread and gave thanks. And if Paul could do it then, facing death, so can we. No matter what the hard situations are, when you're very poor, in rough situations, thank God anyway. And brethren, the secret of thanksgiving is this. It's easy to thank God when you see all the great blessings, and we should. It's harder, but even more important, when you thank God in spite of the good circumstances, when they're bad circumstances. Then think of the things that God has given to you the bad circumstances can't take away. Thank God anyway. And when you do that, I guarantee you the angels in heaven hush. Because it's easy to thank God on the mountaintop. But when you thank God down in the valley, that is a holy thanksgiving even the angels can't enjoy. They don't go through bad times. And when they see Christians thanking God, when everything's going against them, they say, behold, such holy thanksgiving. Years ago, I knew a man that was unemployed. And he didn't have any job prospects. And he had a little bad health, but it wasn't too bad. But then he was down to his last quarter. And he looked in his cupboard and all he saw was one can of soup. Didn't have any other food. And then he looked at his table and there were a stack of bills. He owed $10,000 or so. But with that quarter in his hand, he said, Lord, I thank you for this quarter and for that little can of soup. Could we say that? When we're down to our very last anything. Thank God. In spite of the hard situations, God will provide. Then thank God for things that come our way that look like tragedies or adverse circumstances. Let me tell you a little story. Some of you have read the great commentary by the Puritan Matthew Henry. If you don't have it, every Christian ought to have Matthew Henry's commentary. It's been a classic for almost 400 years. Well, once upon a time, Matthew Henry, this godly pastor, was traveling to another city. And so he went through some of the outlying roads and some highway robbers came out on horses. They stopped the carriage. They pulled out their little pistols and they said, we want all of your money. So he had to come out and he had to open his wallet and give them everything. And they rode off laughing and cursing. Well, Matthew Henry, being a very godly man, went home and immediately got out a piece of paper and wrote down four lessons from that. Now, that's something we can do every day. Sounds like something Jonathan Edwards would do. What did I learn about God's providence today? Let me read you what he wrote in his diary after being robbed on the highway. Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although he took my purse, that is my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, although they took my all, it was not much. And fourthly, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed them. That's a good insight. Let us go and do likewise. Unfortunately, many people complain when they should be thankful instead. Some people complain because of the thorns on the roses when they should be thanking God for the roses on the thorns. Now, that's not just a Pollyanna, you know, well, thank God anyway. But look at the blessings that God has given. And even those thorns are for our good. Remember our lesson on thorns in the flesh God has given to us? It's easy to thank God for the roses. What about the tough times? All things work together for our good. Boy, that takes faith to thank God even for the bad times, but in those bad times, Satan whispers to us to complain instead of thanking God. I remember when I was at Bible college, a few of us were sitting around the dinner table, and I said, well, who's going to say thanks? And one guy said, I will. So we all bowed our heads and we all prayed. And then as we began to eat, we used to call it mystery meat. And you know what that is. At the end of the week, we'd get mystery meat. And Brandon, you know what that was. You probably had it up there at Moody. At the end of the week, they recycle all the leftover meat. It might be beef, a little bit of chicken, a little bit of whatever, and they grind it all up and expect us to eat it. Well, when it was mystery meat, one of the guys said, "I ain't eating this stuff anymore." And he starts to complain. Other guys start complaining. And at that very moment, the cook walked by. And I still remember him. He said, "Hey, Scrounge, what are you doing complaining? Didn't you just thank God for the food? You can't complain and thank God at the same time." And he went back into the kitchen and we got very quiet. We deserved that rebuke. You can't complain and thank God at the same time. We should be thanking God and not complaining. Ephesians 4 gives us another contrast. We should be thanking God rather than using bad language. Let me quote the verse. "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." God has given us lips and a tongue to thank Him with, not to complain with, and not to tell bad jokes or coarse jesting or anything like that. You see, brethren, if thanksgiving is a command, not giving thanks is a sin. Have you ever thought of it like that? Years ago, when we did our series on the Ten Commandments, we talked about sins of omission, sins of commission. And every one of the commandments of God has a positive and a negative. And when we do something, we're obeying God. But if we don't do it, that's a sin. We're told to thank God. Therefore, ingratitude is a sin. And God takes it seriously. Romans 1 lists a whole bunch of terrible sins, homosexuality, murder, and other things. In the middle of the list, it says, "Neither were they thankful." I wonder how many of us think of ingratitude as a sin. It just doesn't occur to us. "Well, I didn't say thank you." No big thing. It's a big thing to God. And it should be to us. You know, we're sometimes offended and hurt when we do something for someone and they don't thank us. Remember when I was a boy of about 8 years old, my family was on a little trip on some of the back roads of southern Texas, and we were driving down a certain road, and I can probably still point out the exact place. And my father pulled over because he saw this big car parked on the side and a man looking like, you know, he had a bad flat tire. So Dad says, "We're going to go and help that man." So we pulled over, and my dad got out and took his jacket off, and he says, "Don't worry about it, bud. We'll change the tire for you. Kirk, get over here." And he called my brother, too, and we got out the jack, we got out the tire, and the man just kind of sat there and watched us the whole time. And so my dad did all that, and then he put the tire back in the jack and put the trunk down like that. And he looked at the man, and the man reached in, got his keys, got in the car, and drove off. And I still remember the look on my father. He had one of those smiles that was sad. He looked at me and my brother, and he said, "You know, he didn't even say thank you. The man just drove off." I could tell my dad was hurt like that. How do you think God feels when He does things for us out of the goodness of His heart, and we don't even take time to say thank you? In Luke 7:16, we find that Jesus healed 10 lepers, and they were so happy, and they all go down the street, and we're told only one of them returned to say thank you to Jesus. And Luke adds this detail. That man happened to be a Samaritan, an outcast. What the Jews would say, that's a half-breed. Jesus commends that man and said, everybody else condemns him. I commended him. He came back and said, thank you. I sometimes wonder how many of those thousands and thousands of people that Jesus healed ever took time to say thank you. Oh, I'm sure some of them did. Some of those fathers whose little children were healed, I'm sure they said with tears, "Thank you for healing my little girl, my little boy." But I imagine other people didn't say thank you. They just went on their way happy and didn't thank God, didn't thank Jesus. And I wonder when they went home if their wife said, "What happened?" "Oh, I'm healed." "Well, did you say thank you?" We had a story this week. I think it was early in the 20th century. Up in Chicago, there is a young man that was studying at Bible college to become a preacher. And he was walking along the shores of Lake Michigan, and there was a bad storm. And as you know, it can get pretty stormy up there and pretty cold in the windy city. And a couple of hundred yards out on Lake Michigan, there was a ship that was sinking and people holding on to rafts and to pieces of wood. And so people were saying, somebody, where's the Coast Guard? Somebody help them. There's no boats. And so this student took off his jacket and took off his shoes and swam out a couple of hundred yards in the cold, icy waters and pulled someone to safety. Nobody else did. So he did it again. And again, he rescued 17 people single-handedly. And then at the end of that, he collapsed on the shore, and it did so much to him, he never recovered. It hurt his health. He had to leave Bible college, never became a preacher. His health was ruined the rest of his life. But he lived to be 81 years old, and in his obituary, the reporter did a survey and found out that not even one of those 17 people that he had rescued ever said thank you to him. Are we like that? God has rescued us. Have we really said thank you? Jesus was a man of thanksgiving. But when we do not thank God, we're not imitating Jesus. We are imitating the devil. The devil never says thank you to God. Who are we imitating? Lastly, how should we thank God? Well, with humility and with joy. We should express it to God in a variety of ways, like giving back to God. 2 Chronicles 29 and Leviticus 7 refer to thank offerings. Now, this is an interesting kind of offering. They were not the guilt offerings. They were not the burnt offerings. They were not these other ones. They were not votive offerings. These were what were called free will offerings. In other words, it was not mandatory. But when people were so grateful because they had good crops, good health, or other blessings, God allowed that they could bring a certain offering to the temple as a thank offering. Leviticus 22:29 calls it a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So we can express our gratitude to God in a variety of ways, not just putting into the offering plate, but giving to other people. When we give to others, we're actually giving to God. One more way we can thank God with music. We've sung already. We'll sing again. Ezra 3:11 says, and they sang responsively, praising God and giving thanks to the Lord. Psalm 147:7 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. I want you to go home and read Nehemiah 12. And with all those unpronounceable Hebrew names, it says that Nehemiah appointed two large thanksgiving choirs to minister in the rebuilt temple. And back then it was only just a foundation with a couple of walls. But they said, as we rebuild the temple, we don't whistle while we work. We thank God in music. So they had these two huge choirs, and their whole job was simply to sing thanks to God. I'd love to have been there to heard them. Two choirs back and forth resounding with thanksgiving to God. Lastly, earlier we read Psalm 30, verse 12. The last verse says, I will give thanks to you forever. And David is not just saying every day of my life in the future I'm going to thank God. You know what he's saying. He says, I'm going to thank you, God, forever and ever, for all eternity. Brethren, we will spend eternity thanking God for what he gave us back here on this little planet called Earth in our short little lifetimes. We will always remember that and will continue to thank God. Revelation 7:12 records one of these prayers. It says, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. We will always be thanking God. In fact, I think that's one of the first things we will do when we get to heaven. As some of you know, I like to ask Christians, what is the first thing you want to say to God when you see him? And I have smiled when I have heard Christians say, the first thing I want to say to Jesus is thank you. Brethren, let us be a people known for thanksgiving to the Lord. And may the Lord bless us all with a happy and blessed thanksgiving this week. Let us pray. Lord, how can we say thank you for giving us everything? Little things, big things, things that we have forgotten about, things that you will yet give us, physical things, spiritual blessings. We thank you most of all for Jesus. In his beautiful and glorious name we pray. Amen.